This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me in another podcast, my Layla Weighs In podcast. I'm so glad that you're able to join me, those of you that do, and I really am glad to see your emails, comments, questions, all of that. And you're giving me more fodder to talk about as well on this program here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. So today I want to talk to you about something extremely important. I think something that we possibly don't pay attention to, but really what reminded me to bring this to your attention was a 60 Minutes episode some time ago now about food fraud in olive oil. If you've not seen it, you could probably catch it on YouTube. I don't know if you'll catch it on CBS.com or anything, but the shady business of food fraud, and I'm excerpting some of this wonderfully put together material from Food and Nutrition Magazine, this summer's edition. So I want to tell you about food fraud, where it's how it's defined, where it's happening, and what we can do about it. Because when we're shopping for our food, how do we know that we're getting what we pay for? Because there have been a lot of news stories about food fraud incidents. Imported olive oil, for example, being labeled extra virgin, and it's actually a lot less expensive grade of olive oil, or a blend of other oils entirely, cheap varieties of fish passed off as pricier types, and grated Parmesan cheese containing higher than allowed levels of cellulose, that's a plant fiber. This has some consumers wondering about the authenticity and even safety of their food purchases. No kidding. Now, the thing about olive oil I found particularly scary, because if they're replacing olive oil with a less expensive grade, there is volatility there, but at least it might still be olive oil and be a monounsaturated fat. But if they're using a blend of other oils entirely, such as sunflower oil, safflower oil, any of those, these contain a lot of omega-6 fatty acids. And you know, in the standard American diet, we get too many of those, and it's pro-inflammatory in our bodies. And any kind of inflammation like that, or, you know, when we have a ratio of too much omega-6 to too much omega-3, this is the backdrop or the setting for our chronic diseases. Cancers, heart disease, all of those. So, how do we know? Well, while there is no legal definition of food fraud, it's definitely intended to deceive consumers. And of course, it's financially motivated, because why is a manufacturer or product company going to get something more expensive when they could get a cheaper version and pass it off to you and get that expensive price? This is unfortunate. So Michigan State University's Food Fraud Initiative defines food fraud as a collective term used to encompass the deliberate and intentional substitution, addition, or dilution, tampering, or misrepresentation of food, food ingredients, or food packaging, or false or misleading statements made about a product for economic gain. This definition is broad because food fraud takes so many different forms. So, the USP Food Fraud Database categorizes the type or the nature of food fraud reports as follows. Under replacement. Replacement is the complete or partial replacement of a food ingredient or valuable authentic component with a less expensive substitute in an effort to evade standard quality control measures. Replacement typically involves product dilution or extending an authentic ingredient by adding one or more adulterants. An example of this is adding water and citric acid to lemon juice to fraudulently increase the titratable acidity of the final juice product. We have to read our ingredients. And these things sometimes will be listed in the ingredients, but sometimes not. The replacement category also includes false declarations of the geographic, species, botanical, or varietal origin of a food. Examples of this are substituting less expensive cow's milk for goat's milk. Oh no. Misrepresenting a food's origin to evade taxes or tariffs, and labeling a synthetic ingredient as natural. And you know what? Natural already doesn't mean anything when sourcing our food. Now, the term addition involves adding small amounts of a non-authentic substance to mask an inferior quality ingredient. An example of spice fraud is adding color additives to paprika to enhance poor quality materials. The term removal is taking out an authentic and valuable constituent without the buyer knowing about it. An example of this is removing nonpolar constituents such as lipids, fats, and flavor compounds from paprika to produce paprika-derived flavoring extracts. It's fraudulent to sell the resulting defatted paprika, which lacks the valuable flavoring compounds of normal paprika. So, let me take you through a few food categories here of where we might find the most food fraud. Olive oil, as I mentioned earlier, is often substituted with a lower cost type of olive oil or thinned with a nut, seed, or a legume oil. They could be using soybean oil or safflower or sunflower or something like that. Fish and seafood. We already know about this. Some higher value species have been replaced with cheaper, more abundant fish. Milk and milk-based products. Cow's milk has had milk from other types of animals added to it or been adulterated with reconstituted milk powder, urea, rennet. Rennet is a protein found in the stomach of the cow, or other products. Adulterated milk might be added to infant formula and other milk-based products. I know that there was a particular example that I want to tell you about, the infant formula, for example. One high-profile example occurred in 2008 in China when a water-thin milk used to make powdered infant formula was adulterated with the chemical melamine to give the appearance of a normal protein content. Scary, right? Well, nearly 300,000 babies were sickened, and as many as 6 may have died after consuming contaminated product. In the U.S. in 2009, 2 peanut processor executives were indicted on felony charges for the introduction of adulterated and misbranded food into interstate commerce with the intent to defraud or mislead after selling salmonella contaminated peanuts to unwitting food manufacturers. More than 700 people in 46 states were sickened, and several deaths were linked to the products, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, as a nutritionist and from a medical nutrition therapy standpoint, you can have severe health consequences when an individual can consume an unexpected ingredient for which they might have a food allergy or an intolerance, a sensitivity in a product that they think to be safe. And perhaps not a health hazard, people may also unknowingly consume ingredients that they avoid for religious or ethical reasons. Now, let me go back to other categories of food fraud. Honey, maple syrup, and other natural sweeteners. Honey might contain undisclosed types of added sugars. Maple syrup is sometimes thinned out with sugar or corn syrup. Now, I've seen some honeys on the market there in the grocery store. Take a look at the ingredients, everybody, where there is the addition of high fructose corn syrup. If you listen to my last podcast, all that fructose, not good for our health. Next category of food fraud, fruit juice. Juices might be watered down, cut with a cheaper juice, or contain only water, dye, and sugary flavorings. Coffee and tea. Now, this was eye-opening to me. Ground coffee might be cut with leaves, twigs, and other substances. Oh, my. Instant coffee may include chicory, cereals, and other substances. Tea may contain leaves from other plants, color additives, and get this, colored sawdust. Oh, for crying out loud. We're all eating wood. Our coffee and tea may be made of wood. Under the category of spices, saffron, ground black pepper, vanilla extract, turmeric, star anise, paprika, and chili powder have been found to contain adulterants and colorings. And, oh no, organic foods and products. The USDA has detected fraudulently labeled products for a range of food and ingredients from domestic and international suppliers. And finally, the last category, clouding agents. These are used legally to enhance fruit juices, jams, and other foods. A particular concern is the fraudulent substitution or addition of the plasticizer di-2-ethylhexyl phthalate. DEHP is how it's known. This is a phthalate, and related phthalates. DEHP has been linked to public health risks such as cancer and reproductive concerns. Now, these agents are legally used to enhance fruit juice, jams, and other foods. So, the U.S. Pharmacopeial Convention, which sets standards for identity, strength, quality, and purity of food ingredients, dietary supplements, and medicines, categorizes food fraud into three types in their food fraud database. I talked to you earlier about replacement, addition, and removal. Okay? The exact extent and impact of food fraud cannot be calculated because perpetrators operate covertly, and most cases are never exposed if they don't pose a public health risk. So it's after you've been sickened or gotten the salmonella tainted peanuts or that terrible infant formula laced with melanin. But a study commissioned by the Grocery Manufacturers Association is estimating that certain types of food and consumer product fraud cost the global food industry $10 billion to $15 billion annually from factors such as lost revenue, decreased market share, damage to reputation, increased costs for recalls, liability, and bankruptcy. So it's also tough to pinpoint perpetrators along the food supply chain. They're highly knowledgeable of the food industry as well as science and food chemistry. So, and today's globalization of our food supply is fueling opportunities for fraudsters. Products are moving farther and faster than before. Fish from another country can be caught, processed, and arrive in the U.S. within 10 hours. And when you add to that a complex supply chain with a lot of paperwork transfers and inconsistent oversight, it's easy to see why fraud is hard to detect. Now, the food industry is implementing more sophisticated and accurate methods to detect fraud, such as DNA testing and genome sequencing of fish to help ensure authenticity. And although the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the FDA, they have mechanisms in place to identify, enforce, and prevent food fraud, they don't have the resources to physically inspect most products, much less detect every case. For example, in the year 2011, the FDA physically inspected only 2.3% of all food and feed imports, which means the percentage of inspections for food alone is even smaller. And according to the U.S. Government Accountability Office, in the year 2000, FDA inspections covered only about 1% of the food imported under its jurisdiction. I mean, this is just a pittance of what they could be inspecting. So the enforced inspection is not there. The government, our government, does not have enough resources to take care of this problem. But happily, on a happier note, another front against food fraud is coming from the food industry itself. Hey, do I have a reason to cheer the food industry? Food industry implementing more sophisticated and accurate methods to detect the fraud, such as the DNA testing, genome sequencing of fish that I just mentioned to help ensure authenticity. And implementation of industry standards that require a documented vulnerability assessment and control plan based on guidelines from the industry-driven Global Food Safety Initiative. So listen, what can we do as consumers to reduce the risk of being duped? The next time we go buy ground coffee, the next time we buy tea, spices, even our organic food products, a fruit juice or a jam, our milk products, our seafood, and of course our olive oil. Here are some steps we can take according to Food and Nutrition Magazine. And again, they've done a wonderful, wonderful job. Diane Quagliani is the author of this and the president of Quagliani Communications, a nutrition communications firm in Western Springs, Illinois. She says, be aware of the foods that commonly fall victim to fraud. Learn more about vulnerable foods by tapping in to the searchable USP food fraud database of reports of ingredients fraud. That's foodfraud.org. Well, listen, I went to that database today. That's foodfraud.org. It's not up and available yet, and it's likely not going to be available until September. Other things we can do to prevent being duped. You want to shop at a trusted retailer. You want to cultivate relationships with your small local businesses. It's not a foolproof step because honest sellers can be fraud victims too. But they may take extra care to source their products. For instance, a local merchant sometimes will have more direct oversight of their suppliers, like a small grocer who picks up his organic produce from the farm down the road. That would be ideal, right? And all of us shopping at our local farmers markets could do the same. And the small grocer, they have more at stake. There's usually a lower risk of fraud from a local shop because they have a very high risk of going out of business from even a small fraud incident. Choose time-honored, reputable brands and products. Be wary of bargain prices for typically expensive foods such as saffron and extra virgin olive oil. They might be diluted with cheap ingredients. Now I'm scratching my head. At any time I see a nice olive oil on sale, I should probably think twice. Buy foods as close to their natural form as possible. For example, grind your own coffee beans. Don't buy the already ground coffee because it might have leaves and twigs and who knows what. So grind your own coffee beans and grind your own whole spices. Get a spice mill. That spice mill is the same as grinding your own coffee beans. It's the same appliance. And in addition, you could always grow your own herbs. And listen, if we as consumers suspect fraud, we need to shout it out. We want to report it to the retailer, to the manufacturer, through their website, or a consumer hotline number on the package. And for FDA-regulated products, which is any food except meat and poultry, contact the FDA Consumer Complaint Coordinator in your state. You go to FDA.gov. For meat and poultry products, contact the USD Office of Inspector General, again at USDA.gov. And if you ever suspect a food product has made you sick, contact your local health department right away. Bravo Food and Nutrition Magazine. This is chock full of very, very important information. I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.